All right, take your Bibles, turn to the book of Esther, chapter number 7. Book of Esther, chapter number 7. We just read there this past week in our Bible reading. For those that are following the church Bible reading schedule and going through there, we just finished reading through the book of Esther. And so we're in the time period just after the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. And Nehemiah had taken some folks down there, the Jews, and went and rebuilt those different gates and those different walls, and Sanballat was coming against them. So it's a time period just after that. But there were still Jews that were scattered all over the area, and all the Jews weren't there back in Jerusalem. There were still several that had already made their homes in other places. And so we find a group here in the book of Esther that had made their home in this kingdom, in this place, in Shushan. And so we have the story here. And I want to look at one particular character and an aspect about this character for just a few minutes this morning. Look at Esther chapter 7 and verse number 10. The book of Esther chapter 7 verse 10. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. The Bible says here in verse number 10, "So they hanged Haman on the gallows, and he had prepared for Mordecai, then was the king's wrath pacified." They hanged Haman. And I want to look at that for a few minutes this morning. Let's pray one more time. Lord, thank you for loving us, God. We thank you for being a great God and a great Savior. And thank you for being our friend. And Lord, we know that you're greater and better than anything that could ever come against us, Lord. And we thank you for that. And Father, I pray, God, that you would speak to us through your word this morning. You said if you be lifted up, you'll draw all men unto you, Father. And I, Lord, believe that this morning through Sunday school, Lord, through the singing just a few moments ago, through our congregational singing, through our giving, Father, you are lifted up. And Father, we pray, God, that you'll draw all men unto you this morning. Whatever it is we stand in need of today, God, I pray that you would be that for us and you'd help us. Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We find here the story of a man by the name of Haman that was hanged. And before I begin to look at him in detail, I was interested in the hanging here. A hanging was a punishment for a crime that was committed or for a sin. Back in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 22 through 23, you don't have to turn there, but the Bible said, "If a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be to be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day, for he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance." So it was a punishment that was to be brought upon people that had sinned and that had messed up. And we find the word hanged in the Bible, it's 30 times in 30 verses. And six of those verses are in reference to an object, but the rest of them are in reference to somebody being hanged. And I know that back in the Wild West days, they used to hang people. And man, if they still did that today, it would really deter a lot of crime. If somebody did something that was worthy of hanging, and they went downtown New York, and you saw somebody hanging there, you probably would think twice about beating up an old person. Amen, or whatever they get away with there in New York every day. And so they would hang people there for a punishment. The first time we find somebody being hanged in Scripture is in Genesis chapter 40, verse 22, and it's when the chief baker is hanged according to Joseph's interpretation of the dream. Y'all remember that story? The chief baker was hanged. That's the first time we find that word used in Scripture. Joshua, one of the mighty men there in the Old Testament, and King David, they had a lot of people hanged when you're reading through there. Many of the scriptures that deal with hangings, those men would give a word and people would get hung. Matter of fact, David told some his men to cut off all the hands and feet of some men and then hang them there. Amen. That's a gory sight, is it not? But people think twice about acting when they see something like that. Amen. I'm not advocating you go out and hang anybody. There's people that are supposed to handle that. But we find in Scripture that 30 times it's mentioned. Again, six of those are in reference to an object being hung on something, but the rest of them are to people hanging. There are a few characters in the Bible that hung themselves. Look with me quickly. Keep your finger there in Esther. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 17. 2 Samuel chapter 17. I'm trying to lay a little bit of groundwork for something here in a few minutes. And 2 Samuel chapter 17 and verse number 23. And when you find your place there, say amen. So we know you found your place. Amen. All right. There's about a quarter of you found it. Amen. All right. 2 Samuel chapter 17 and look at verse number 23. We find a man here by the name of Ahithophel, and he had counseled Absalom against Absalom's father, King David, and he gave counsel on how to go get David and to kill David, and his plan backfired on him. Amen. David's a picture of God the Father, and you're not going to have a plot against God and get away with it. You're not going to have a plot against the king that God's anointed and get away with it. And so we find here in 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 23, the Bible said, when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order and hanged himself and died and was buried in the sepulcher of his father. Now, can you imagine this man who has this brilliant idea? I mean, he's got this great idea of how he's going to fix Absalom's problems with King David. And he comes up with this plan to have David killed. He comes up with this strategy of how he wants it done. And then Absalom goes and asks somebody else for their advice. Everybody has an opinion, amen? And so he goes and asks somebody else, and the other man had a better idea according to Absalom. And we know that man ended up warning David of what happened. That was all a part of God's plan. But Ahithophel leaves out of Absalom's presence, and he's thinking, man, I had a great idea. Man, this is probably one of the greatest ideas Absalom's ever heard. This is going to solve all of his problems. And he's just sitting there minding his business, and somebody comes up to him and says, hey, they're not going with your plan. And a matter of fact, they're upset with what you recommended. And King David knows about it. And so he's like, I'm done. I'm going to be hanged. I'm going to do it on my own terms. And so he goes home and puts his house in order and he hangs himself. Amen. He knew he was guilty. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 18. 2 Samuel chapter 8, just one chapter over. We find Absalom, who we just read about, that was being counseled by Ahithophel. Well, he takes the counsel of these other men that he had counseled with, and it backfires on him. I mean, everybody's plans are getting backfired on. And so we find another hanging. Now, Absalom did not intend to hang himself. But sometimes you get hung up and it's not intentional. Amen? Ahithophel did it on purpose, but we find Absalom here. He doesn't do it on purpose. And 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse number 9 and verse number 10. And the Bible said, and Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth. And the mule that was under him went away. Brother Jack Wood preached that message, and the mule walked on. Verse number 10, and a certain man saw it and told Joab, and said, behold, I saw Absalom hanged in an oak. And so we find here where he gets himself hung up. This passage tells us, if you read a few verses earlier, that the forest killed more people than the men did. You say, how did that happen? I don't know. You ever seen those movies where the trees come alive and start devouring people? I don't know what happened. But the Bible said that the forest killed more men than the other people did. And now we find Absalom. I mean, the trees reached down there and grabbed him by his head and pulled him up. And the mule just kept walking on. Joab, this man runs and tells Joab, hey, I found Absalom hanged from a tree. And Joab says, hey, did you kill him? And that man said, no, I didn't kill him. David told us not to touch his son Absalom. I'm not going to do it. But Joab wasn't afraid of anybody. Amen. David even feared Joab a little bit because he's crazy. You don't know what he's going to do. And so Joab goes up, takes three darts, put it through his heart, and then all Joab's men ends up killing Absalom, hanging there from the tree. And you say, what are you getting at? Just hold on. And if it doesn't make any sense, I've been on medicine all week long and I'm enjoying myself. Turn to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 3. When I was studying the book of Esther, this thought when we were reading it this past week, God, I believe God gave me this thought. I don't believe it was the medicine. Amen. All right, just to clarify, I preached about the influence of plants last week, and I have not been on any plants. All right, Matthew chapter 27, verse number 3. The Bible said, then Judas, we find another character here that hangs himself. Verse number 3, then Judas, which had betrayed him when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And Judas fell under conviction. He was bothered by what he had done to Jesus. And he tried to go make things right, but it was too late. I mean, have you ever done something that was awful and it caused great consequences and you badly wanted to make things right? That's what happened to Judas. I mean, he had Jesus Christ. He betrayed him. And he went back. He said, hey, I want to give you your money back. Like that's going to make everything better. And those men said, what does it matter to us? It doesn't matter at all. And then so Judas throws the money down. In verse number 5, the Bible said, and he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and what? Hanged himself. We find three men here in the Scripture that hanged themselves because of decisions that they made that were bad decisions. Now, my dad preached this morning in Sunday school. I listened to the whole thing and did a good job. I don't want to give him the big head. He was talking about me getting the big head. Amen. But I don't want to give him that this morning. But did a good job, and the messages kind of go along about people that make shipwreck because of bad decisions. He preached it this morning. Every decision you make has a consequence. It's either a good consequence or a bad consequence. Now, before I get any further in this message, if you make a bad decision, don't go hang yourself. I'm not preaching that you do that. I have personally known people that I knew personally that hung themselves. I've known of some that hung themselves and lived, and they're vegetables today, if they're still living. This was years ago. When I was in high school, there was a young man that I played basketball with at the Nazarene school we played basketball for there in Ohio. And when he became a teenager, his dad had this vintage Mustang, and his dad loved this car. He loved it very much, and his dad told him not to touch it, don't look at it, just like Adam did to Eve in the garden. Hey, don't do anything with that fruit, amen? And so he said, don't look at it, don't touch it. He loved that car. Well, his mom and dad were gone for a weekend, and the boy thought he was going to be cool and take that car out with a couple of his friends that his dad would never find out. Well, he ended up getting it scratched. He ended up backing into something, I don't know, distracted somehow, and ended up putting a big old scratch on it, messing it up. And he was so upset about it, and he knew his dad loved that car so much. He thought that his dad loved the car more than he did him. And so when his dad got home, he opened the garage door to find his son hanging from the rafters of the garage above that car. Dead. 17 years old. Amen. That's not the right decision. If you make a bad decision, it's not the right decision to take your own life. And I don't care how bad it gets, man. Especially if you're saved, man. I mean, you got so much more. God's been good. You say, well, they don't like me. They don't love me. And I tell you, the devil is the mastermind behind that kind of stuff. It's not God. So if you ever get to that position where you feel like, hey, there's nothing worth living for, just take a break, go talk to somebody, get with a preacher, get with somebody, say, hey, I'm having some problems here. Nothing wrong with doing that. Amen. If that young man would have just called his dad might have been mad, but he could have calmed down from wherever he was all the way back, and there probably would have been consequences, but I know his dad wouldn't have killed him. But he really believed his dad was going to kill him. He was that upset about it. And parents, don't ever let your kids think that you love something more than they do. So let me just stick that in here. When you make bad decisions, don't hang yourself. Judas and these other three men had made some really bad decisions, and a result was them hanging themselves. I don't know what's going on with this, Brother Nick. You playing with it? All right. Hey, my Brother Roman. Can't be sick no more. Out of all the books of the Bible that contain the word hanged, Esther has the most. 7 times in the book of Esther is the word hanged mentioned. More than any other book of the Bible. And the first mention of those hangings, go back with me to the book of Esther. The first of those hangings, where we find the word hanged itself, H-A-N-G-E-D, we find there in Esther chapter 2 in verse number 21. Now, many of you know the story of Esther. I'm not going to preach through the whole book, even though we'll mention several things throughout the book. But I'm not going to preach through the whole book. But many of you know the story of this king that was there, Ahasuerus, this king, and Vashti was the queen. And Vashti would not obey her husband, and it caused a lot of problems, just as it usually does. And so she would not obey her husband. He said, come. She wouldn't come. So the men came to him and said, hey, if you let her get away with this, then all the women are going to think that they can stand up to their husband and not do right. That's what the book says. That's what Esther says. Did anybody read Esther? I'm not making this up. I'm not just preaching me. This is what it said. The men came to him and said, we got a major problem. If Vashti gets away with this, then all the women are going to be empowered for women's lib movement, and it's going to cause major problems. Amen. And they knew it was going to cause problems. And so they ended up writing this letter, and they ended up doing away with Vashti, and all the women were supposed to be humble and say, man, I better obey my husband. All right? Well, then they come to the king, and they say, we need to find you a new queen. So they went and got all the virgins of the land and brought him before the king, and they went through all their purification and all those things. And there was a young lady by the name of Esther who was a Jew. Her uncle Mordecai had raised her, who was also one of her older cousins, however that works out. But she was there, and she was one of the ones that was presented, and she was the one that the king chose to be the next queen. And so he chose her. Well, after that takes place, we find here in Esther chapter number 2, in verse number 21, Mordecai, he ends up going down by the gate every day. He's there in the court, and every day he's trying to check and see how Esther's doing. Checking on his family to make sure she's okay. And while he's down there, he hears some news. In verse number 21, the Bible said, in those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the doors, were wroth and sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. And the thing was known unto Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen, and Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. And when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out. Therefore they were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. Now, I don't know about you, but in the Old Testament, you don't mess with the king. Right. Amen. You shouldn't mess with the king today either. And I'm not talking about a man. I'm talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But in the Old Testament, you didn't mess with the king. And Mordecai found out, again, a bad decision was made and they were hung. So out of the 7 times mentioned in the book of Esther, the first one has to do with these two king's chamberlains that had intentions of killing the king. The rest of the mentions of hanged in the book of Esther all have to do with one man and his family, Haman. I mean, imagine that much attention being given to one man. And so, throughout the rest of the book, the other 6 times is dealing with Haman. And I want to preach for a few minutes on how to hang yourself. Now, again, I said don't go hang yourself. But I'm talking, spiritually speaking, how to hang yourself. Dad talked this morning about spiritual shipwreck, and the messages go right along together. Isn't that funny how God does that? Amen. And how to hang yourself. Now, some might say, well, Haman didn't hang himself. I'm not sure about that. I believe he did several things to hang himself. Amen. Let's look at those for a few minutes, and then we'll be done. And if y'all are tolerating this to the end, just endure to the end. Amen. I don't know if it'll get better or not, but just endure anyway. All right, Esther chapter 3 and verse number 1. Esther chapter 3, verse number 1. This man Haman comes on the scene. After these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hamadathiah, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. And so we find this man comes on the scene. He's promoted to second in the kingdom. And we find out as we read through the story that, as in other portions of Scripture, some of these Jews that were devout to God chose not to bow down and worship any other person or creature. Mordecai would not bow down to Haman. Haman, there was a decree put out that he was the second man in charge and that people were supposed to honor him and all these things. And Mordecai said, I'm not bowing down to him. Just like the three Hebrew boys said, they're not bowing down to that false god that Nebuchadnezzar made. And I'm telling you, we have people everywhere that are bowing down. They are. They're just bowing down to everything. It doesn't matter what is being said. They're bowing down. If it goes against this book, don't bow. If it goes against this Bible, we're not supposed to bow at all. And so Mordecai said, no, I'm not bowing to you. And here begins the problem. And here's how Haman hung himself. Number one, I'd like to say, if you want to hang yourself, be egotistical. Amen? What does that mean? Excessively conceited. Absorbed in oneself. Look at verse number 5. Y'all with me? Esther chapter 3 verse 5. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. Haman's entire downfall that led to him hanging on the billows that he built, that he himself had built, what led to hung, first of all, was he was full of himself. This one verse right here started the entire downfall of Haman. I mean, this is where it all got started. And it all got started because he thought he was better than what he really was. He thought he was full of himself. He was absorbed with himself. The Bible said, Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. You want to end up getting tripped up? You end up getting hanged up in this life and causing you all kind of problems? Just be full of yourself. Just think that everything is about you. And if you do that, you're going to get hanged. It will not work out. That promise in Proverbs, that's a promise. Pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. That's not a maybe, that's a promise. If you want to be full of pride and you want to think it's all about you and you want to absorb all the attention upon yourself, you will fall and you will fall hard. And Haman ends up getting hanged in his entire family over his stinking pride. And you say this morning that There's people that are full of pride all in the world today. We know that. The world is full of pride. But there's pride in the church sometimes. And I have seen arrogance and pride cause destruction of a whole entire church. It's one of the downfalls of our country. Pride. But I've seen it destroy churches. And Haman here, I'm telling you, he almost destroyed an entire nation of people over pride. He was going to wipe out all the Jews. He found out Mordecai was a Jew, and the Bible said that he wasn't satisfied with just being him. He said, I want them all dead. Why? Because one man didn't give him reverence. And how many times have I seen it where one person didn't talk to one other person just the way they thought they should have been talked to? I don't get the respect that I deserve. Why didn't he ask me to do that? Amen? And it ends up it'll end up getting you hung. It'll end up getting you hanged, getting upset because you weren't the one chosen or you weren't the one called on. Hey, it's not all about you. I want to go to a church where I'm appreciated. I want to go to church where God's appreciated. I want to go to a church where the book's appreciated, where Jesus Christ is lifted up. That person that says, I'm trying to find a church where I'm appreciated, guess what? You're never going to find it because nothing's good enough for you. You'll never be satisfied. No amount of tasks is ever enough. Why? Because you weren't given that one. Amen? How to hang yourself? First of all, be egotistical. You say, why'd you use that word? Because I needed some ease. Excessively conceited. This is an awful thing to think about, what happened here. But Brother Taylor, how many churches have you seen destroyed over one person that said, it's about me? Brother Jim, you've seen it. You've been in a lot of churches. It's all. And Dad preached some of this morning, so if you were in Sunday school, you're getting it twice. Amen. And so it's all about me. You want to get hanged? You want to hang yourself? Let that be number one. How many times have you seen people, even in the workplace, that get full up with pride, and man, do they fall hard? Amen. They fall hard. You say, what do I do if I'm on this road of hanging myself? Just get right with God. Realize it's not about you. Every time within yourself you feel pride swell up because you weren't asked or because you feel like you're entitled to something, every time that builds up inside of you, you just need to say, it's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. And who really cares that you got looked over? You know, you're the only one that really cares about that. No one else does. Amen. If a pastor tried to make everybody happy, he would go hang himself. You got to follow God. And just because you weren't asked or just because you weren't chosen to do it doesn't mean that you're not qualified or good enough to do it. That's not what it means. It means maybe the Lord just went in a different direction for some reason. And if you're upset about it, that's the reason God didn't choose you. Even if the pastor doesn't know about it. Amen. Move along. You want to hang yourself? Be egotistical. You want to hang yourself? Be enlightened by the wrong crowd. Well, watch this progression of Haman. Look at Esther chapter 5. Esther chapter 5. You say, fill in the blanks of the story. There's not time. Go read the book of Esther. It's not that long. I read it through twice this morning. Amen? I've read through it many times. Read through it twice this morning in preparation for preaching. Esther chapter 5, and look at verse number 9. The Bible said, then went Haman forth that day joyful with a glad heart. Why? Because Queen Esther invited him to the banquet. I mean, he's excited. Because I'm somebody. Amen? I mean, he's really thinking I'm somebody. I have arrived. I'm second in the kingdom. I get whatever I want. Man, things are going really good for me. Hey, man, I love myself. And he runs home. Brother Isaac, he runs home to tell his wife, you're not going to believe who Queen Esther invited. Take one guess. Take one guess of who was invited. Take one guess on who was asked to preach. Amen. Probably need to preach this at a camp meeting. Brother David Wood said he preached with a bunch of young preachers and he got up and preached down boy. Down boy. Amen. Just people full. So he gets up and says, hey, guess who was invited? And he gets all excited about it because Queen Esther only invited him and the king. Nobody else. Nobody else got invited but the king and me. And so he's all excited about it. So he's going to run home to tell his wife. In verse number 9, then when Haman forth that day, joyful with a glad heart. But he runs into a problem that initiated all this pride thing. He runs into a great problem here. He runs into Mordecai. He sees Mordecai and all the joy and all the excitement that he had. It ends up turning into indignation. It ends up turning into wrath and fury. Because he saw that one man that just didn't respect me the way he should. That one person that caused me all this problem. And his heart is full of bitterness and anger because he was done wrong by this one person. Can you imagine your entire life? I mean, you're second in command of the greatest kingdom of that day. I mean, great kingdom. They were over many lands, and he's second in command. but his entire world, Brother Charles, revolved around one man. I mean, you can do anything you want to do. Go anywhere you want to go. I mean, you have the keys of the kingdom. But your entire life, you go to sleep thinking about Mordecai. You wake up thinking about Mordecai. I mean, you're eating the finest food in the kingdom. You're sitting with the king. And all you think about is Mordecai. You say, that's ridiculous. Well, why is it that some people allow one person to consume them? They allow it to consume them. Every minute of their day, they're thinking about that one person. Amen. Dr. Ruckman's dead, and he still lives rent-free in people's head every day. His presence consumes those people every single day. Jack Wood, Lester Roloff, I can go on and on and on. Donald Trump is still torturing people every day, and he's not even in the White House. I'm talking about every day. They got good jobs, they got good families, but all they care about is Donald Trump. Amen. I said this probably a few weeks ago, but I live rent-free in people's heads. I don't even think about those people, but they hate my guts. But there's people that live that way every day. Man, why would you spend your days that way? Haman had a good job. Haman had a good life. Haman had all these things, but Mordecai stood in the way of everything because he hurt him. And so we find here Mordecai's in the way. So verse number 10, nevertheless. I mean, even though Mordecai did that, full of indignation, nevertheless, Haman refrained himself. Poor Haman, he had to refrain himself. And when he came home, he sent and called for his friends and Zeresh his wife. And Haman told them of the glory of his riches and the multitude of his children and all the things wherein the king had promoted him. And how he had advanced him above the princes and servants of the king. Haman said, moreover, yea, Esther the queen did let no man come in with her, with the king, unto the banquet that she had prepared but myself. And tomorrow I get to go back again. And nobody else gets to go. Ha ha. Amen. I'm that important. Do you not see Haman here, his attitude? I'm that important. Verse number 13. There's Mordecai. Yet all this availeth me. You know what he said, Brother Stephen? He said, I have nothing as long as Mordecai's sitting there. Can you hear what you're saying, Haman? Can you not see, child of God, that God saved you? That you're not going to hell when you die? That heaven's your home? Hey, we've got a place waiting for us that Jesus himself has prepared for us. God's been good to you. Why would you allow something that you got upset about to control your life? It happened to Haman. We're talking about how to hang yourself. Amen. How to get to the point where you're useless for God. Useless for anybody. A dead man can't do much. And there's a lot of God's people that are dead spiritually this morning. They're saved. They're going to heaven. Thank God for that. But they have zero effectiveness in the ministry. They have no effectiveness in their church. Most people don't respect them. Why? Because they hung themselves. Amen. I hope you're getting the point this morning. Enlightenment from the wrong crowd. Look at verse number 14. Then said Zeresh his wife and all his friends unto him, let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high, and tomorrow speak thou unto the king that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go thou in merrily with the king unto the banquet. And the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. I don't want to get ahead of myself in the story, but Brother Isaac, his wife, gave him the suggestion to build his death trap. Amen? You better be careful who you get your advice from. Amen? And sometimes the wife and the husband, they're upset, but if they ever get upset at the same time, you're in trouble. Amen? My wife is precious. She's in here this morning. Amen? I believe she's precious. I love her. But she gets upset sometimes. Amen. She gets aggravated sometimes. And sometimes she gets aggravated at other people. Believe it or not. And when that happens, usually I'm trying to talk her off the cliff. I'm not talking about her jumping off the cliff. She's trying to push somebody off the cliff. And I'm trying to talk her off of it. And then there's times where I go home and I said, I'm done with them. I'm done with that person. And she goes, well, we shouldn't do that. We need to pray for them. Amen. And we help each other out, right? The day when I go home, say, I'm done with them. And she goes, me too. You're all in trouble. I don't know what's going to happen. But Haman, he gets advice from his wife and his friends. What I'm trying to tell you this morning is if you want to hang yourself, get advice from your friends and from the world and from social media and from Facebook and from YouTube, and get all your advice from there before you ever go to God. You want to hang yourself? Do that. The things of God don't always make sense to the world, to you. You can't always put it together. But God knows what He's doing. Sometimes He'll tell you things that make no sense, and years later you'll look back and say, I'm glad I followed God. But there's a lot of people that look back and said, I followed my friends. My friend told me. Amen. I know of pastors this morning that went and sought counsel of other men and other pastors, and it wasn't the greatest counsel. And it ended up causing them major problems. Amen. They had the right intentions. Everything seemed okay. What do you get at? I'm saying don't make any decision until you get with God and get a peace from Him. In the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. That's what the Bible says. But make sure it's godly counsel and make sure you talk to God about it. It would do me no good to just go talk to Brother Bobby and talk to Brother Taylor and talk to some other men and say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this, and then get their counsel and then make a decision and I haven't one time talked to God. I ought to talk to Him first. I ought to pray about it first and say, God, I'm going to talk to these men that You've laid on my heart. Would You help me get an answer? Nothing wrong with talking to those men. But there's people today, especially young people, they will seek counsel of their friends over their parents, over their pastor, over godly men and women, and they'll say, well, my buddy thinks I ought to do this. You want to hang yourself? You want to get in trouble? Amen? How many young people this morning, Brother Jim, are sitting in prison today because they sought the counsel of their friends about something? Well, my buddy said it would be a good idea. They said it would be okay. The parents said stay away from them. Parents said don't go that direction. The preacher preached against it. And so you want to hang yourself? Get enlightenment from the wrong crowd. What does the Bible say about it? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You want to be blessed? Don't get your counsel from the ungodly. If somebody's holding a beer and sucking on a cigarette while they're giving you advice, think twice about what you're about to hear. Amen. Amen? Amen? They're already not making good decisions. Amen? But how many people do that? How many people seek counsel from Catholics that are on Fox News telling them what to do about their Christian life? I mean, that's where they're seeking their counsel. You want to hang yourself? Take their counsel. Amen. I got to move on before I lose the rest of my wind. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. You want to hang yourself? Be egotistical and get enlightenment from the wrong crowd. Number 3, have a sense of entitlement. Amen. You're owed something. I hit on this a little bit a second ago, but this happened to Haman. I'm running out of time. Look at me in verse number 5 of chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 5. In verse number 1, I'm just gonna kind of paraphrase this for you for a second. The king wakes up one night because he can't sleep. And he does what you ought to do when you can't sleep instead of grabbing your cell phone. He gets the Bible out. Amen? Amen. God's people all the time say, I have a hard time sleeping. Well, you got a light glowing in your face all night. Amen? Get you a Bible out. Amen? I get a lot of my messages in the middle of the night. when I get up and read my Bible, amen, God starts showing me things, amen, I like it. And so he starts reading the Bible. He said, get out the Chronicles of the Kings and read it to me. And he finds out that Mordecai saved his life back in chapter 2. He reads about it because it was already written down in the Chronicles. I mean, Mordecai did it. It became scripture. It was written in the Chronicles of the Kings. And so he gets it out and he's reading this thing. And he says, man, Mordecai saved my life. And he asked his men, what have we done to Mordecai to help him? They said, we haven't done anything for him. He goes, man, we need to do something for that man. He goes, who's that out there in the court? Is that somebody that can help me? And they said, it's Haman. He goes, oh, perfect. Bring Haman in. Haman, what would you do for a man that was wonderful and great? And Haman, the Bible said that he thought it was him. Are y'all still with me? And the king's servant said in verse 5 unto him, behold, Haman standeth in the court. And the king said, let him come in. So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to do honor more than to me? Than to myself. Is that not what it says? You want to hang yourself? Have a sense of entitlement. You're owed some. I'm telling you, you know what we are owed this morning? We deserve to be in hell. We deserve to be burning in eternity for hell. But that's not what I got. Because Jesus took my place. I didn't talk about another man that was hanged on a tree. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said in Deuteronomy that anybody that hangs is accursed. And he became a curse for you and I. You want to hang yourself, have a sense of entitlement. He goes, what should I do unto the man that I honor? And Haman goes, he's talking about me. And so he starts listing off the finest things he could think of. I'm not going to read it for a second time. Go back and read it. He starts listing off the apparel, the type of beast he's going to ride on. I mean, he's going down the list. And he's sitting there thinking, I'm one of the greatest people that have ever lived. I mean, look at what all's been done for me. I mean, obviously, I deserve this. Our world has gone slap stupid. And you know what? There's people that already run to the mailbox on the 15th of every month to get their a child stimulus check. Right now. That started back in July, the 15th of every month. For you that don't have children that age, I'm sorry. We're getting a check every month. Ha ha. No. But you know, Brother Stephen, there's already people. I guarantee you right now, Dad gets a call on the 15th saying, where's my check? Every month. It'll get here when it gets here. But there's people that think that they're entitled to it. There's people that think they're entitled to the government giving them a check and giving them a phone and giving them a house. And we preach against those kind of things. But we got people in church that think they're entitled to something. They think they're entitled to more than they have. Wow. You got quiet. There's pastors right now that pastor small churches and they're disgruntled because they think that they deserve more. Amen? Do you deserve bigger church than Jesus had? There's 12 people and one of them were the devil. Amen? So does that mean if I'm pastor of 24, I got two devils? Maybe, maybe not, I don't know. You think you deserve more than he had in his last days? Amen? So we find here that Haman begins to list all these things because he believes he deserves them. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ saved us and that should be it. Yeah. And we don't even deserve that. Yeah. But man, he sure has been good to us. But you know what? He went beyond saving us and he has been good to us. Yeah. But yet there's some of God's children that don't think it's enough. They don't think it's enough. You say, you know, you want to be in some kind of ministry. You know how God, you get to a place where God finds you faithful and puts you into a ministry? Just serve where you're at and do what you're told to do and find out what God has for you. Say, hey, what can I do? And do it and be happy with it. Amen. And just serve God. And then God says, he's faithful, she's faithful. I'm going to put them into the ministry. Amen?
Yes, sir.
I mean, there's a lot of young, and I know I'm a young preacher, but there's a lot of young preachers today that think that they're entitled. They ought to have something. They're not willing to have a nursing home ministry. They're not willing to have a street ministry. They're not willing to have a prison ministry. Amen? Well, I'll start amening myself here at the end if I have to. Being egotistical, enlightening from the wrong crowd, having a sense of entitlement. I just got two more and I'm done. Verse number 13, you want to know how to hang yourself? Have error in judgment. Now, Haman was given an opportunity to make all this stop. I'm going to show you here in Scripture, and I got to finish. Esther chapter 6, verse number 13. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
And Haman told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends everything that had befallen him. Now, again, I can't go over all this, but he tells the king, I deserve all this stuff. I believe you're talking about me. He lays all this out, and then the king says, all right, go do all that to Mordecai. So Haman himself has to go put the clothes on Mordecai. I mean, talk about just ouch. He has to give Mordecai the royal treatment. Himself. The king said, I want you to do it. The fall has begun. Talk about eating crow. Has anybody here ever had to go back up to somebody that you grandstanded with and had to go back and apologize or say, hey, I was wrong about that? Anybody at all besides me? Oh, just a couple people. Man, we got some angels in here this morning. And so, verse number 13, he goes back to his wife and tells her all that happened. And the Bible says here in chapter 6, verse 13, and Haman told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men and Zeresh, his wife, unto him, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, because his plan is to wipe out the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shalt surely fall before him. Haman has an opportunity now to stop everything. Do you understand that? Are you thankful for second chances and third chances? It takes humbling yourself, though, and swallowing your pride sometimes to go to somebody and say, I'm sorry about the way I've been treating you. I'm sorry about my attitude. It takes a lot to do that. Haman wasn't willing to do it. You want to get yourself hanged? Have an error in judgment. He was warned, and he was warned about what was going to happen. We find there in verse 14, as he's being warned about all this stuff taking place, that the chamberlain came in and said, hey, you got to come to the banquet. You remember that banquet, Haman, that you were so excited about going to? Just you and the king and Esther. And he decides not to say a word. He decides not to do anything about it. You want to hang yourself? If God deals with your heart about something, don't do anything about it. Don't repent. Don't get right. Don't go apologize. Don't go say, I'm sorry. Don't do anything about it. Just let it kindle inside of you. Just get madder about it. Just get more upset. Just try to make that person more uncomfortable next time you're around them. Amen? You want to hang yourself, be egotistical, and get enlightenment from the wrong crowd, have a sense of entitlement, have error in judgment, and last of all, be an enemy of God's people. Haman messed with the wrong people. I'm thankful for God's people. Amen. Look what it says here in chapter 7. And I'm not going to read all of it for a second time, but they're sitting here at this banquet, and the king over and over again is asking Esther, what do you want? Anything in the kingdom, up to half the kingdom, whatever you want, I'll give it to you. And over and again, she said, just let's have a banquet. Two times she did that. And this time, and let me say this, back in chapter number, I believe it's chapter 4, when Mordecai, Esther's worried about this thing. She finds out about Haman's plan, and she's worried about it. And Mordecai says, you were born for such a time as this. God puts you in as queen for this moment. I told Brother Stephen, what a humbling thought that we're the ones preaching, Brother Jim, in the last days. God chose that. I didn't choose that. God chose that. That's a humbling thing. And Esther there is in this kingdom, and he said, for this reason. And she replied back to him and said, tell all the Jews to fast for 3 days and three nights. And I'm going to fast for 3 days and three nights and see if we can get God in this thing. That's wisdom right there. That's wisdom. And so they get together here, and again, the king asks Esther, what is it that you want? In verse number 4, she said, verse number 3, then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, to perish. This is God's people. Remember, there were Jews back in Jerusalem. They had already rebuilt the wall, but he still had Jews in other places. And God still cared about them in other places. God still cares about the Jews in other places. He cares about all kindreds, tongues. Amen? He says, but if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue. If the Jews would have been sold just to be servants, I wouldn't have said a word. But we were sold to be killed. Does one man being mad at the Jewish nation and trying to eliminate him remind you of anybody? People have been trying to destroy the Jews off the face of the earth for a long time. Even after the Bible days. If they're not still God's chosen people and God doesn't care about him, why are they still hated like they are? Why would the devil mess with them at all? Amen? I held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. Then the king answered and said unto Esther the queen, who is he and where is he that durst presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and queen. Can you imagine he's sitting there at the dinner? And Esther's talking and he goes, oh no. And there's only three people here. The king, Haman, and Esther. The king said, who did this? And she goes, him. This wicked man right here, Haman. The last thing I have is, if you want to get hanged, go against God's people. Become an enemy of God's people. How many people do I know today, their life is absolutely ruined because they got mad at a preacher? They got mad in church. That they got angry, they got upset, they got their feelings hurt because they thought they were entitled to more than what they got. The preacher didn't shake my hand. Well, maybe he's sick and doesn't want to get you sick. Amen. Who knows what the reason is, and who cares? You're not here for him. You're here for God. But people get offended, they get upset, they leave, and now they make the church their enemy. The church is not your enemy. Thank God for a place you can come that will pray for one another, that will support missionaries and help one another and try to get help from God and try to get a help from his word. Thank God for the church. Don't become an enemy of God's people. If you do that, you're going to get yourself hung. Chapter 7, verse number 7. I got to finish. Chapter 7, verse 7. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine, in his wrath went into the palace garden, and Haman stood up to make request for his life. Now he talks, but he's not talking to the king. Now he's begging Esther. Begging Esther for his life. For he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. The king comes back. He's mad at Haman, and he commands them to take Haman out and to have him killed, to have him hung on the gallows that he built for Mordecai. Now, looking at this story and looking at all these things, would you say that Haman hung himself? He got himself hanged. No, nobody else did this. He did it to himself. But let me say this in closing. Miss Sarah, come to the piano, and I know what time it is. We don't have Sunday night service. I know we got Bible Institute coming up here, and that's 3 hours long. I get that. But just stay with me for 1 second here. God wants to do something. I want to allow him to do it. Sarah's going to play the piano. He got himself hanged, but I want to say this, that he didn't just get himself hanged, he got all of his kids hanged. The decisions you make and your feelings getting hurt and you getting upset and getting offended or whatever caused you because you thought you were so great to get upset, it's going to hurt your kids. There's people today that got mad even out of this church and walked out mad. They made me an enemy. They made the church an enemy. And they left. And I'll tell you, their kids are suffering for it today. I'm talking about in a mess, a complete wreck, a disaster. They hanged themselves and in the process got their kids hung. You don't believe me? We're out of time. But verse 13 and verse 14 of chapter 9, the 10 sons go get hanged. Let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. Your actions will never just affect you. It may get others in trouble. And I realize what time it is, but listen, if the Lord spoke to your heart, this is a hard message to come on. I understand that. But listen, do business with God. Don't have the pride of Haman. Maybe there's some things in your heart that just aren't quite right with God. Maybe this morning you'd like to come and just try to get those things right with Him. Haman ended up getting his family hung. His 10 boys didn't have anything to do with this. But they ended up getting hanged also because of his pride, his arrogance, because he got hurt. And he wasn't willing to swallow his pride and just get over himself. Pride cometh destruction. A haughty spirit. These are dangerous things. Maybe there's someone here this morning that you've never trusted Jesus as your personal Savior. As I said earlier in the message, He hung on a tree for you. The wages of sin is death, and He took that for you. He took death for you. Cursed be he that hangeth on a tree, and He hung on the tree for you. He became a curse for you. He took your place. And I'm so thankful for it. Amen. All right, you can look up here. I appreciate you being good listeners. I know it's a little bit longer than usual, which is weird because I was running out of air from the start. Amen. But we find Haman in a position that a lot of people find themselves in. Amen. And so it was a reminder to me, and it should be a reminder to all of us, that it's not about us. It's about Him. And God's got so much more for us. Amen. You know, another interesting thing about the story, and I'll stop because there's so much in the book of Esther. But Haman back in chapter 3, whenever he was chosen to have this position and Mordecai didn't bow down to him, the Bible said that he casted a lot. They called it a pur, P-U-R. He casted a lot to find out what month they were going to destroy all these Jews on. And you know what? Because of that, later on after he's hanged in Esther chapter 9, the Jews decided to celebrate those 2 days every year from that time to today. They still celebrate this time called Purim, P-U-R-I-M, to today in honor of arrogant Haman who got himself hanged. Next year, it's gonna be on Wednesday and Thursday, March the 16th and 17th is the next one. So on those days, remember Haman. Amen. They named this after him. You say, what are you getting at? How would you like to be a sermon illustration forever? Amen. Not in a good way, but in a bad way. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Taylor, thank you for being here, brother. Would you dismiss us in a word of prayer?